Good morning, family. So good to see everybody this morning. Happy August 1st. I was wanting to try to find something that just to get the celebration started. Sundays are supposed to be a celebration, and I really wanted to just start with some type of celebration material. So I go online, seeing what took place on August 1st. Nothing. There was one thing. To the new moms, the young moms, it is this whole week, breastfeeding week. Let's get this celebration going. I took this up with my new grandson, Silas. So Silas, do you think this is appropriate? He gave me the biggest smile. And that's why I'm sharing it now. But since Thomas brought it up, there's another thing that took place in 1936 at the Olympics. I don't know how many people might remember those Olympics. But that is what it was held in Berlin, Germany, and the host of the ceremony, opening ceremony, was Adolf Hitler, who was so proud of his Aryan nation. And it was Hitler who said, they're going to win everything. But he never heard of Jesse Owens. Jesse won 4 gold medals in the 100 meter, the 200 meter, the long jump, and also in the 400 meter relay, and put tears in the eyes of Adolf Hitler. Thank you, Jesse Owens, for representing well. Hey, I want to bring this up. We do have an Olympian here today. He did the announcements. That was in 96, correct, Thomas? Running for St. Vincent, St. Thomas. Our own Olympian. Way to go, Thomas! But anyways, let's move on. This is the second part of a 2-part series that was started last week by Nathan Flieger called Loving Like Jesus in the Fractured World, with the emphasis on loving the marginalized in society. Today, our focus is learning how to love like Jesus in a fractured world. We will be reading and staying in 2 Corinthians 5, so if you want to turn there, you can do so now. And we're learning about how fractured the church was in Corinth, with some followers challenging the Apostle Paul with scathing criticism from church leaders attacking his leadership, teaching, and integrity. Fractures were many. In this present time, we've noticed over the last 2 years or more how the fractures in society have not been improving and actually seem to be becoming more severe. People are yelling with more volume and enthusiasm, with more cruel and bitter criticism. The sole focus seems to be divide and widen. We are not the first people to have lived in a divided and difficult time. I pray relations will improve in our country and in the world. But as for our focus, I am believing that our church and our community will work for unity through understanding one another. Church, we must take the lead in bringing clarity, respect, and healing. We have a guiding light in Scripture that says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Are we listening? I have nothing against anybody, but I know there are times when I become mad about things. And it's really not being influenced by what's inside of me, per se, but what's forcing me into these situations of being mad, being angry. It's these powers. But that's not the important part of what I'm speaking on today. During the time of the early church, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, which itself is divided and in the midst of difficulty, in a culture that was divided and in the midst of difficulty. He's writing to the church at Corinth an admonition or a rebuke that had become focused on the wrong things, arguing, and more. Actually, Paul had to defend himself to some of the things they had done. He writes to rebuke them at least twice. Then what happens is, in the second rebuke here, in this letter, Paul encourages them really represent Jesus and his kingdom well. Let me say that again. Really represent Jesus and his kingdom well. He uses himself as an example. Many times he refers to we. He's talking in a kind of authoritative sense of himself and the people with him. But some of those also relate to us. They were far from fulfilling what God had called them to do to represent Jesus and his kingdom well. We see in this passage, we know they lived and we live in a broken and fractured world. From this passage, the beginning place for the answer is that we acknowledge that we respond well by loving in the midst of that brokenness. And we love like Jesus loved when we represent Jesus and his kingdom well in the world in which we live. You want to love in a fractured world? Represent Jesus and his kingdom well. There are four things we need to look at in this passage that we will need to break down to better understand what it means to learn to love like Jesus. Number one, we get a new perspective. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. He says, "So from now on, we regard no one in a worldly point of view." We regard no one in a worldly point of view. In other words, we don't see people like maybe we saw them before we were Christians. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you might see other people who come from other backgrounds or other nations or other languages or other cultures or other races. And you might say, those people aren't like me. I don't have to care about them. Well, now it says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We see people the way God calls us to see people, which is a beautiful beginning point for us to see them differently. We get a new perspective, but then to represent Jesus and his kingdom well to them. The verse goes on to say, though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Maybe we understood who Jesus was, but now as Christians, we understand who he is. We see him and who he is through different lenses. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. So the idea here is quite simple, and quite importantly, that we get a new look, we see people differently, we get a new look in light of the fact that we have received a new life. These are tied together, a new life, a new perspective. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We receive this new life. If anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. That is why Jesus called it being born again. Because without Christ, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead and deadened. But then, through Christ, we receive new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Some people will hear this message of new creation and think it's all about turning a new leaf. It's about receiving new life. This is really essential because the gospel is not you do. Try harder, work harder, be more religious, be a good person. The gospel is not you do. The gospel is Jesus did. What Jesus has done by dying on the cross for our sins and in our place, what he has done, he has given new life. But this passage reminds us that that gives us a new look. Some lenses through which we see the world. It is a reminder to us that really, God is recreating by causing people to move from spiritual death and deadness to spiritual life. He's creating a new world, the creation of heaven, a new earth that we see in the book of Revelation. But the kingdom of God is now broken into the world in Christ. And we are born again into that life and community. But the world, please listen, in 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, "For the present form of this world is passing away." The world is passing away. So we should not be shocked that the fractures grow, that the outrage and anger is evident, that the division is among us and around us. We should not be shocked by that reality. We don't want to miss this, but God in Christ is creating new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. He's given us a new life so we could have a new look. That's not the only reason, but for the sake of this passage, that's what we're going to focus our lenses through which to see the world. But then you go to work and people are irritating. Even at a church. Then you go around your family, and sometimes they don't pay attention. Or maybe you're trying to help somebody, and they keep falling back into their old ways. Or maybe you're in conflict with your neighbor. Or maybe the politics are driving you crazy. Or maybe the moment that we're in is just too stressful. Or maybe you got to post on social media and vent. Don't post on social media. Jesus doesn't want you to vent that way. I've got a right to say what I want. Yes, in this country you do. But in the kingdom, some things are a little bit different. You don't have a right to just be mad and mean to everybody. Am I talking to anybody in here? Hallelujah. There seems to be a lot of mad and mean Christians. You don't have a right to be mad and mean. You've got a new set of lenses that causes you not to see people as your enemies. Even people who hate you because you're a Christian, they are not your enemy. They're prisoners of war. The lenses change that. From now on, we no longer regard anyone from purely a worldly point of view. As I said before, as Christians, we are called to be a different people and to see people differently. It is because of the new life from Christ, we have a new perspective. We have a new perspective. And we are sent on a mission of reconciliation. We are sent on a mission of reconciliation. It starts in this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. 4 times in 2 verses, we see a clear understanding that we have been reconciled to God and given the ministry of reconciliation. We want to love in a fractured world, represent Jesus and his kingdom well. Because Christ has reconciled you to God, he then calls you to be an agent of reconciliation in the world. Reconciliation comes to the lost by receiving, trusting, and following Jesus. Also tied into this unique situation, we are trying to build bridges to others to be reconciled, as was Paul seeking to build bridges again with the Church of Corinth. He is ministering as an agent of reconciliation. Church, are we wanting this? Do we want to see better relationships between races and people? We need it. We need it in this church. We need it in this community. We need to experience it, each one of us, to experience new life in Christ and to be agents in helping others come to Christ and have their lives changed. Again, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed the message to us, the message of reconciliation. So we get a new perspective. We're sent on a mission of reconciliation. And we are representing Jesus and his kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeals through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Keep in mind, when Paul says we, he is talking about his group at the time of this letter, and all of us in here today. We. It is not always easy being an ambassador. Paul actually uses the word twice, translated in our English Bible. Once here in 2 Corinthians, but the other place is in Ephesians chapter 6, where he's chained to a wall in a prison. It says this, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Come on, church. We have a lot to learn today. You want to live? Do you want to love in a fractured world? Represent Jesus and his kingdom well. This is kind of the heart of the passage. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors. So we are representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus says in John 20:21, "As the Father has sent me, even I send you." So we've been reconciled to be agents of reconciliation. We've been sent by Jesus into the world. He was sent by his Father. He sends us. As those who are sent by Jesus into the breach, into the brokenness, into the fracture, we go as citizens of the kingdom. As a matter of fact, Jesus actually tells us to prioritize that kingdom above everything else. Look at Matthew 6:33. "But I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You really want to step into the breach, into the fracture, into the brokenness? Represent Jesus and his kingdom well. Because the kingdom arrived when Jesus, the King, arrived. Then we've been transferred into the kingdom. Now the kingdom fully comes. It's real, it's already here, but not yet here. The kingdom fully comes when Jesus comes back. But the reality is, now we are citizens of the kingdom and ambassadors of the King. Now, the question we should ask ourselves, does our interaction with our neighbors, family, co-workers reflect that we're an ambassador of the King? Think about that for a minute. Let me say that again. The question we should ask ourselves is, does our interactions with our neighbors, family, co-workers reflect that we're an ambassador of the King? Does our interactions online reflect that we are an ambassador of the King? If not, you have not sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but some other loyalty, some other agenda, some other concern in your heart or your life. Your thought process has overridden what Jesus says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you. So we get a new perspective. We're sent on a mission of reconciliation. We're representing Jesus and his kingdom. Why? Because of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." When we fully understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and in our place, when we understand that, it changes how you address the brokenness and the fractures. For Christ's love compels us. because we are convinced that no one, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You want to love in a fractured world? Represent Jesus and his kingdom well. Put on the new life and the new look and the new lenses and see people differently. People are struggling. People are hurting. People are angry. See them differently because you see them through the lenses of Christ. Work towards reconciliation with God and with others for people all around you. Seek to represent Jesus because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you. If you are a follower of Jesus, would you spend a moment in prayer, listening for the Holy Spirit to direct you on how you can better represent Jesus because of what he has done on the cross? This is the most important part of it. I'm believing the majority of everyone in here has had an experience with Jesus Christ that really rocked their world, that delivered them from foolishness, stupidity, and just rebellion. And their lives were changed, radically changed. This, you know what I'm saying. This happened to me when I was 21. Radically changed. Nothing like I am now. Thank you, Jesus. And we could all say, oh, you were 21. I'm not saying to all you 21ers, you're knuckleheads. I'm not saying that. But there was just something at that age that just wanted us to rebel and do our own thing and pursue just stupidity, I guess. But when I came to Christ, he rocked my world and changed my life. So, for those who maybe haven't really stepped out and made a commitment, is there anyone in here, anyone, who has never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life? We're not going to put you on a spot, but I just want to know if you'd want to put your hand up and just let us know that you want to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. Over here. Hallelujah. Over there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. After this service, we'll have opportunity to talk and to pray with you. It's the most important change in your life you'll ever make, and we all need change. Thank you for being so bold. So at this time, we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into worship, I think. I'm kind of lost up here right now. No, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Is that working? This is exactly why we need new equipment up here. And you'll hear about that in just a couple minutes. Well, thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I just praise you and thank you for the love that you have for us and the desire to have us well in every way. And Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, for pouring it all out for our benefit, that we would be reunited to you, reconciled, made whole. And Lord, I just pray for those that have raised their hands, and I just ask, Lord, that you just begin a work on them. Let them sense your presence in its fullness. Let them enjoy that warmth of love. I just praise you and thank you, Jesus, for all you want to do with us and through us. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Move upon us and do the work that only you can do. We welcome it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.